today. Now, I want you to think about this passage, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And as I think about it, I think so much needs to be said about the only way. That's the title of this message, the only way. And there is but one way, and we need to be thinking about that. As I started thinking about this message, I thought about C.S. Lewis writing a book called The Screwtape Letters. And those were written, I think, in the 30s and 40s and 50s maybe. He was writing letters that would be posted in the Saturday Evening Post. And the book is a very interesting book and a challenging way for us to think about how the devil tempts us. And it is a good book, and I encourage you to read it. Well, in about 1960, the Saturday Evening Post encouraged Lewis to write more letters. People loved them. They were unbelievably popular. And he said to the Post he didn't want to write any more letters, but he would write an addendum to the book. If you were to purchase that book that has the addendum in it, the first copy I read didn't have the addendum, but when I read that addendum, it would be worth the price of the book alone. And there's a phrase in that addendum that he repeats several times. And that phrase is, "I'm as good as you." And the reason he repeated that phrase is he was writing about England about that time. And he noticed that in the educational system, everybody was being passed. Nobody failed. We didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We didn't want to embarrass anybody. And so everybody became as good as any other person. If a person made straight A's, no big deal. The person who made an F was just as good. And no matter how hard the A student worked, the other person was just as good. And anybody that would indicate different would become a bigot, someone who was prejudiced. They just were looked at in a different light. And if you look at what he wrote in about 1960 and how that came to be true in our culture, if you notice, the same thing is happening. That was in England he was thinking about. In America, the same thing has happened. If you notice, we give everybody on every team a trophy. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want you to think you're not quite as good as my kid who was the most valuable player on the team but didn't get acknowledged because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm as good as you. Well, one of the troubles that that has brought to us is that has spilled over into religion. And if you think about people who are talking about religion this morning in churches and in other areas all over the world, there is this idea that I'm as good as you. Don't you come to me with anything that you think I must do if I don't believe that, because you see, I'm as good as you. My doctrine, wherever I got it, whatever it is as good as your doctrine. I'm as good as you. We listen to people's opinion. I've said so many times, and it's true with me. If I were to go to Huntsville, where they might work on rocket engines, I don't know if they do that sort of thing down there or not, but if I went to Huntsville and somebody was working on an engine that would propel a rocket into outer space, and he's working on that engine, I'm standing there looking, I'll see something that I think that guy or that woman ought to do to fix that motor. I can think of some way to make it better. So I've said many times, whoever is looking on anybody doing anything knows more than the person that's doing it, because you see, I'm as good as you. I'm as good as that rocket scientist. And if I am preaching, I'm as good as you. Even if you come to me and tell me anything about religion, I'm as good as you. What are you doing telling me? Why would I listen to you? Because I'm as good as you. That is not what God teaches us. That is not what the Bible teaches us. I have on the screen there the setting for John 14, verses 1 through 6. And if you look back in chapter 13, Jesus and his disciples are observing the Passover meal and some things following the Passover. Jesus said some things that were almost impossible for those guys to believe. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a good friend that worshiped with you, worked with you, good friends with you, who all of a sudden turned into something spiritually that you just couldn't believe. They started believing in this way. They started acting in this way that just blew your mind. Well, really, if that's ever happened to you, that's what was happening to the disciples Jesus was telling them. Look, those guys that walked with Jesus every day, can you imagine how shocked they were to think about Judas betraying Jesus? Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And not only that, Peter, who was one of the inner circle disciples, Jesus had Peter, James, and John with him so very often. Peter is going to open the doors to the kingdom of heaven in just a little bit. What a great man. Jesus often at this point had told them, "You're going to deny me." Peter says, "Not me. I will never deny you." You remember reading? He said, "I will die before I deny you." Jesus is telling him, "That's not true. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice in the morning." All of those disciples would have been shocked because, you see, they were all saying, "We'll die with you if that's what it takes. We're going to go every step of the way with you." Now Peter's being told, "You're going to deny me three times." And so then he tells them, "I'm going to go away, and where I'm going, you can't come." These were shocking things that led them to chapter 14 and verse 1. They had troubled hearts. Jesus in chapter 14 and verse 1 said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I've just put some examples of what that word means. If you remember the story of the pool here that we read about, the waters were troubled. They were stirred up. They weren't calm and smooth. And they were troubled. They were boiling up. There were waves. It was not smooth and easy. That word "troubled" there is exactly the word that Jesus is applying to the hearts of the disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. So figuratively, as we look at that, trouble describes someone who's unsettled. They may be frightened. They may be terrified. They may be intimidated in some way. It's almost for sure, since we're streaming this message as well as offering it to those of you who are in the audience, there are people who are listening whose hearts are stirred up like that water was, who are frightened about something or terrified about something or troubled in some way. And Jesus is saying to us, don't let your hearts be troubled. If you take a look at Herod, when Herod heard that there was going to be a new king, he was troubled by that. Somebody to replace me, somebody to take my power, somebody to take my wealth, and he was troubled over that. When the Gentile world began to hear the gospel as Peter went to Cornelius and the gospel message started being spread worldwide and the Gentiles were being taught the gospel and they were responding to that message of repentance and baptism that Jesus preached to his disciples and they preached to the world. The Gentiles were being baptized, and then the Jewish people were coming along and saying, "Look, that's good. We appreciate you repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins, but let me tell you, you're not really a true Christian unless you're circumcised." And the Jewish people were telling the Gentile Christians, "There's more to it than you've heard. If you're going to be faithful, you've got to be faithful like we say you are faithful." And the text there in the book of Acts tells us that the Gentiles' hearts were troubled. And then when Jesus, this famous passage in Matthew 14 about Jesus walking on the water, you think about being on the water in a boat and somebody comes walking up to you on the water. You know there's no foundation there except for the water itself. You would be thinking, what is going on here? That would frighten you. It would terrify you. It would make you wonder, what is going on here? Your heart would become unsettled. The same thing in all of those cases is what Jesus is talking about with the hearts of the disciples. But he's also talking about my heart and your heart. If you have a heart that's troubled, there's only one real solution to a troubled heart, and that is to trust in Jesus. Trust Him. Trust Him for what He says. Trust Him for what you need. Trust Him that things are going to work out. And until we develop that trust and we come to believe that Jesus is the only way, we're going to continue to try to fix things ourselves or go to somebody who can make a decision for us, who can give us the help that we need. We need to trust in Jesus. I put a few passages up there that just tell you how much God wants you to trust in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will act. I have prepared a message for this coming Wednesday night class, and it's about the parables where Jesus taught people not to lose heart in praying. Don't give up. If you're seeking help from the Lord, if you trust in Jesus, you're going to wait, and you're going to wait, and you're going to wait until God acts. God promises us, if you believe anything that God says, you believe that He will act because He promised us He will act. Here in chapter 14, He teaches us, you believe in God, believe also in Me. We need to trust in Jesus. As we think about our troubled hearts, we trust in Jesus and we look to Him to come and get us. Jesus said He's going to go away. But He said, if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Are you living life today like you're waiting on Jesus to come get you? The world is a terrible place. I mentioned this morning about reading about a professional football player, and many of you have no doubt read about it because it's all over the news everywhere. He's been wanting to get off of his team and onto another team. And he's got a huge millions of dollars worth of contract per year. And now he has 22 allegations of sexual abuse. We live in a terrible world. I don't know if the man is guilty or not. But it's terrible if 22 people are accusing him and he's innocent. Or it's really horrible if those 22 people that are accusing him are right and he's guilty. So when we start thinking about the world that we live in, it is a difficult world, and there are a lot of people living with troubled hearts who are not worried about whether Jesus is going to come get them or not. They're worried about all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, if you're going to settle your heart, if you've got an untroubled heart, or if you're living the way God wants you to, you're going to need to think about Jesus coming to get you. Jesus encouraged His disciples here to know that He's coming again. If you look in the book of Acts when Jesus is ascending into heaven, here is this angel saying, what are you looking up for? He's going to come back in the same way in which He's leaving. He is coming back. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. And when He does, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. And so we will always be with Him. Are you waiting for the Lord to come? He's coming back to get us. And we want to be in a position for Him to take us with Him. If I go, I will prepare a place for you. I'm going to take you with Me, that where I am, you can be there also. What an unthinkable blessing God is telling us about. But He's reminding us the only way. The only way. When we start thinking about this troubled heart, you got to follow directions. Thomas said, hey, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, right here in front of you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, our world continues to say, I am as good as you. Don't come to me with having to be a Christian because, you see, I follow Buddha, or I follow Muhammad, or I follow Confucius, or I, and you could name any number of persons or teachings that a person might be following. And they are ready to say, don't talk to me about Christ. I am as good as you. We're all headed in the same direction, aren't we? If a person is worshiping Buddha, at least they're worshiping a god. Isn't that wonderful that they're moving in that direction and worshiping a god? They're not worshiping God of the Bible. They're going away from God. They're not coming toward God. They're going away. And Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you must follow the directions. I am the way. I'm not one way among many. Don't you be putting these religious leaders of world religions and others and then put me up there with them. It doesn't work. I am the way. If you're going to come to the Father, it will be through me and through me alone. If you look at chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 8, actually, Jesus tells us, I had to come to earth. I had to follow my Father's direction. Though he were a son, he learned to follow directions. Most of the texts say something like, though he were a son, he had to obey. And being made perfect, being made complete by his obedience and his following the directions of our Father and going to the cross, as we observed in the Lord's Supper a little while ago, he became the perfect one because his blood is the only way you and I could be forgiven. I believe that. Look at Jesus in the garden praying three times, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And God said, no, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life in the person of the Christ. And so as we think about Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who follow his direction. It's not about Roy Sharp's direction or anyone else. It's about following the direction of Jesus. It's not about just being religious. It's not about you coming to this building today. It's not about you bowing your head as we pray. It's not about you taking that little piece of bread and putting it in your mouth and swallowing it and then drinking the fruit of the vine. It's not just about being religious. It's about following the directions of Jesus every day. It's about wanting to go where Jesus is. Us guys, we're noted for not following directions. I've been around a place that I needed to get to. I've circled it several times. Jan would say, why don't you stop and ask? Now, even a GPS can get you in the wrong direction sometimes, but we follow the directions that people give us, and it will lead us to where we want to go. If we want to go to heaven, Jesus is the director. He gives the directions. It's not about being religious. Remember Jesus' statement here in Matthew 7 and verse 21? It's not everybody that's religious, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, but it's the person who follows Jesus' direction. The will of the Father is Jesus' direction. The only way to get out of a troubled heart is the only way. Those of you who are listening on our streaming program, and those of you in this audience, if your heart is troubled because of sin, there's only one way to turn that around. You can't have your sins forgiven following some great religious leader. You follow Jesus. There's only one name, Acts 4 and verse 12, given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and that is Jesus the Christ. And this morning, Dean's about to lead us in another song. And Dean, thank you for your singing this morning. It's been good. This next song is special in that it is intended to encourage anyone whose heart is troubled by sin to follow the direction. It was Jesus who said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." It was Jesus who said, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." It was Jesus who said, "You must come." God's grace is not going to overwhelm you if you're running away from God. If you're walking hand in hand with the devil, God's grace is not going to overcome you and save you. Jesus said, "You come to me. If you labor and are heavy laden, then I will give you rest." If you're a child of God and your heart is troubling you because of sin that you permitted to enter your life, this song is intended to encourage you to think about that, for you to make a response, to follow the direction. Repent and pray that the thoughts and intents of your heart might be forgiven you, Acts 8 and verse 22. That's the direction for a child of God. God so wants us to follow the direction and so to access the only way that you can come to Him. Trust in Jesus. Look for Him to come get you. And so be prepared for Him to come get you. Follow the directions that God gives you. And please don't look anywhere but to Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. And so we're going to sing, "If You Need." Please come. Would you stand?